I want to share what I wanted to share 2 weeks ago. I wanted to share on hearing the voice of God, and then God spoke to me, and then we didn't have a service. So today I'm going to try again. But as I was preparing this weekend, I also felt that we'll probably not finish this today, and we'll have a two-part series. We'll see how it goes. But today I'm going to start on hearing the voice of God, and we will continue on this as the week continues, or the month continues. But I want to start off by just laying a foundation of hearing the voice of God before we get into the how-tos and the practical side. I just felt there's a foundation that needs to be laid before we can continue. And I want to start off with that today, if you would allow me to. Now, life is a never-ending series of choices. Throughout life, we constantly face different choices, different decisions that needs to be made. And that's what makes life interesting, the fact that it is not predictable, the fact that it constantly changes, so does circumstances, our life, and everything within it. We constantly are faced with this never-ending series of choices. Where should I go to study? Should I take this job, or is there something better for me? Who should I marry? How must I deal with my colleague? Where should I invest? Should I invest? Should I spend? Should I save? What about my children's education? What church should I go to? Should I buy this house? Should I sell this house? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And so I can continue. Life is a never-ending series of choices that we stand before, and we have to make these choices. How can we know that we make the right choices? How can we know we make the right decisions in the midst of all these options? Where do we go to find advice? Do we go to the experts, or do we rely on our own gut feeling? There are many different ways we can try and find answers to the questions about the decisions that we make and we have to make. And some people prefer to listen to what the experts have to say, and other people prefer to their own gut feeling, their sixth sense, their sense of peace or understanding. So how can we know? Who do we consult with the decisions that we have to make? Who are the one that you go to when you have to make a difficult decision? This morning I want to ask the question, can we consult God in the decisions that we have to make? Can we ask God to direct us in this never-ending series of choices and decisions that we have to make? Can we consult God? You know, when we're sick, we go to a doctor to find out what is wrong if we do not know what is wrong. If there's certain symptoms that doesn't go away, we consult a doctor. Or sometimes when we have lots of money that we need to invest, we consult an expert. And there's so many people that we consult on a daily basis without thinking. If your car is broken, you take it to a mechanic and you ask his advice about the problem. My question this morning is, can we consult God? Can we ask Him? Can we ask Him about the decisions that we have to make in our lives? Think about it. Can I ask God about the decisions and the choices that I have to make? Do you believe that God hears you when you ask Him? I mean, it sounds like such an obvious question that begs an obvious answer, but do you really believe that when you ask God, when you ask Him for His help, for His consultation, for His direction, for His will, do you really believe that He hears you when you pray? Can we ask God? Is He at all interested when we pray? Does He hear us when we pray? And more importantly, does He respond when we pray? I mean, many believe that, yes, we can pray, and yes, that God does hear us, but does He respond to our prayers? Does He respond to direct questions that influence our life? And how, if so, can we hear His voice? Can we hear His voice? I mean, when we pray and we ask God, does He respond? And if so, can we hear His voice? In John chapter 10, verse 14, a very well-known portion of Scripture, we read the following. Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And then later on He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I mean, what a powerful statement God is making. God is saying that, I am your shepherd. I know you. And you know me. And many of us who are seated here today, we know God. And we know that He knows us. But my question is, do you hear His voice? Do you believe that you can hear His voice? And do you follow Him? You know, God is alive. God is alive. He's not just a philosophy. He's not just a philosophy. He's not just something that was written about. God is alive. And you can not only communicate to Him, He also communicates back. Because He's not dead. He's alive. He knows you. He loves you. As a matter of fact, you might think there might be something that might hinder you from hearing God. I want to declare to you that God has already done everything to remove all the obstacles for you to come to Him, to know Him, to hear Him, and to follow Him. I mean, that's why He gave His Son. He gave His Son to remove all the obstacles, the hindrance that was between us and God. Remember, in the beginning, in the garden, man and God had fellowship. They spoke to each other. God spoke, man heard, man responded, God heard, God spoke. There was a dialogue going on, and we know the fall brought in sin that brought separation. And we see it throughout the Old Testament, even through the temple, the veil that separated man from the holies of holies, that man could not enter into the presence of God where he was. The unity, the fellowship was broken, but God sent His Son to take away the obstacles, which is sin and our guilt. He took it away through His Son so that we can come to God, so that we can come to the living God. So that there's nothing more that would hinder us to know God. We read of that here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the body or the barrier is being removed. That's why Christ came. Christ came to take away the barrier. Remember when He died and when he shouted those last words, it is finished. What happened to that veil? That was the symbolic separation between man and God in the temple. What happened? It got torn. It got torn in two. It was so powerful because now the separation that kept man from God was taken away. And man can enter into the holies of holies, into the presence of God, into communion with God, without fear. Knowing that through the blood of Christ, as we come to God through His Son, there is nothing that prevents us from doing so. A few weeks ago, I spoke on waiting on God, in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 7, we read, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." I want to remind you of this. There's another reason why we can come into the presence of God. It's not just because all our sin has been taken away and the barrier has been removed. There's another reason we can come to God. It is because He cares for you. It's because He loves you. So does God care? Is He interested in your life? Is He at all concerned about the decisions that you have to make and the consequences of those decisions? The answer is yes. God is interested. God does care because He loves you. He loves you so much that He was willing to give His Son so that you can come to Him. So my question is, do you come to Him with the decisions that we make? Because we know that the decisions that we make have influence in our life. It has consequences. Some good, some bad, some just for us, some extending beyond ourselves. But God cares about your life. He's interested. He's given His Son so that you can come to Him, so that you may ask Him. So that you may ask Him. Bringing your concerns to Him. Isn't that so powerful? Not only because He hears you, because many of us believe that when we pray, He hears. But I also want to bring this in. He not only hears when you pray, He actually cares about you. God cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about where you live and how you live and where you work and what happens around you. He cares about you. Like I care about my girls, the way I care about where they go, how they go, how they experience school and the friends. I have an interest in their life, and I want to help them to make the right decisions in life so that they may not get hurt. So does God care about your life. So I want to declare to you that God not only hears you when you pray, He actually cares. He actually is interested in your life. Bring your concerns to Him, because He not only hears you, He also cares for you. In Philippians 4 verse 6, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I mean, isn't that powerful? God is saying, do not be anxious about anything. Because in life, you know, one of the reasons why we are anxious is because we do not know the future. We do not know what lies ahead. We do not know what is behind the decision we're going to make. We do not even know whether this decision is the right or the wrong decision. But we don't even know how this decision, even if we believe it's the right decision, whether this decision will turn out to be for our good. And one of our greatest challenges about fear and stress is the uncertainty of future, because we do not know. And here is God that has not just created all things, is not just only sustaining all things. Here is God Almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, that is outside of time. God is not bound by the dimension of time. He is eternal. He is the beginning and the end. He was there before anything else was there, and He will continue to be there forever and ever. God stands outside of time, almost like I stand outside of this pulpit. And as this is the beginning and this is the end, God stands outside and He sees the day Adam was created, and He sees the day that Christ returns. All at the same time. There's nothing hidden from Him. He knows you. He knows the day you were born, and He knows the day you're coming to Him. The day you're going to die. And He knows everything that you're doing. He sees it in life, present tense. God is the eternal presence. He looks at the beginning and the end, and He looks at your life, and He knows what's lying ahead. And you can ask Him Father, help me to make the right decision. Shall I buy or shall I sell? Shall I move or shall I stay? Father, you know. I want to ask you, do you realize you can do that? And that God knows? And He not only knows, but He cares for you. So yes, you can ask Him, because He does know. The scripture in Philippians 4 verse 6 that says, be anxious about nothing, or do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, do you see that? In every situation, no matter what you have to do, you can ask God in every situation by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your requests to God. Who knows the next verse? Anyone? Yes? What is the next verse saying? Let's click next verse and look at that. Look at what is the consequence, the result of coming to God in every situation. With prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, making your requests known to God. This is the God who sees the beginning from the end, that knows everything, that hears when you pray, that actually cares about you. When we come to God in prayer, making our requests known with petition to Him in every situation, there's something that happens. There's this one place of being anxious, being unsure of what the future might bring and the consequence of my decision, as opposed to a place of absolute peace that surpasses all understanding. Even though I look at my circumstances and the reality of all the options and the odds of success and failure and consequences on this side, and I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I'm uncertain, as opposed to a place of absolute peace that surpasses all understanding, there's a bridge between the two. How do I get from this place of being unsure and anxious about my decisions and the options that I have and the circumstances, the bridge to get to this place where I'm absolutely at peace that surpasses even my own understanding is called prayer. The way I get from this place to that place is called prayer. When I go to God in faith, knowing that He loves me, that He cares for me, that He hears for me, God, I can bring you this. I can bring you this uncertainty and these decisions and all the options. And God, I pray that you will help me, that you will direct me in my decision. And if you really believe that God loves you and cares for you and hears for you, there's something that happens. So even before we get to the answer, I want to tell you, when you trust God and you come to Him with everything, God brings something in our hearts. And that is rooted in faith, in who He is, His character, in His Word. So I want to encourage you. God is alive. Why? Why will our anxiety be replaced with His peace? And do you see that not just in your heart? Because many times fear is an emotion, but we also know fear is in our mind. When we try to figure things out and we think through all the consequences, it's so powerful to see that the peace that God brings is not just in my heart, but it's also in my mind. As a matter of fact, it surpasses all my understanding. It's far greater than that. But there is a peace of God in God that surpasses all that. And the bridge between that and that is called prayer. The first step to move to a place of this is when I take that and I present it to God. In prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. It's so powerful. You know, petition literally means to ask God. So it's not complicated. That's what I love about the gospel. It's not complicated. That's the power of the gospel. It's simplicity. God says, listen here, bring your fears, your anxiety, your decisions, your options to me in prayer and ask me. Ask me. Sometimes we simply state to God where we're at. God is saying, Ask me. Bring your fears, your anxiety, your decisions, the choices that you need to make, and ask me. Ask me. And it's not just praying to God and asking God. It actually says with thanksgiving. So what God is saying is, listen, when you have this uncertainty and this fear about all the decisions and the options and the consequences and what is right, what is wrong, come to me, ask me, and then thank me. What do we thank God for? We thank God for that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He's responding to us, that He will guide us. And there's something powerful about thanksgiving, because you can't give thanks to something you don't believe in it. But if you really believe in something, it's easy to say thank you. And God is saying thank you when you ask me. When you ask me about the decisions you need to make and guidance and direction, not just bring it to me, not just ask me, but thank me for it. And in bringing it to God, asking God and thanking God for it, something happens. Even before the answer comes. Even before the answer comes. God's peace enters into my heart and into my mind, knowing that He loves me, that He cares for me, and that He has heard me. And my God will not just hear me. He will act. He will respond. He will respond. Okay, the next question. How does God respond? How does God respond? When we come to Him in prayer, in faith, presenting our request to Him with thanksgiving, how does God respond? Well, let me help you in this question. Let's revisit the obvious. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Is it because we believe that God hears us and He responds? Or do we simply pray because God hears us? It's not a trick question, but it's an important question. Do we pray because we believe God hears us? Or do we pray because we believe God not only hears us, but He also responds? You know, there's many religions that pray. Do you know that? Okay. They pray to statues. You know, Hinduism. They've got many different gods, little idolkies made of stone and wood. What does the Bible say about that? It's like foolish. Why do you pray to dead stuff? Do they ever respond? No. You pray your entire life to an idol and he never responds. You bring him food every day. He doesn't even eat it. Whether you burn it or leave it or music on it or incense on it, it doesn't do anything. And the next day you take it away and you bring fresh food. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. I mean, really, if the guy didn't eat it day one, why will he eat it day two? But we keep on bringing dead stuff, food, and they don't do anything with it. It's not that they ever respond, because it's dead. God is alive. You know what? It's the difference between the dead thing and the live thing. God responds. God responds. So the reason we pray is not just because God hears like the idols, because I'm sure they hear all the prayers, but they don't respond. So I want to encourage you, the God that we serve, not just hear you when you pray, He actually responds. Do we believe that God hears us? And do we believe that He responds? Or do we simply pray out of tradition? Because I fear there are so many Christians today that pray out of tradition. Because that's what Christians do. We pray out of tradition. Let me ask you another question. Why do you pray for your food? Before you, who prays for their food before they eat? Okay. Why do you do that? Can somebody help me? We thank him? Yeah? No. Do we do it out of tradition? No? Okay. Some say yes, some say no. Okay, good. Those who say no, why do you pray for your food? That it tastes better? Yeah, well, if... Ooh, I nearly was in trouble. I don't need to pray for that, for my food. My wife makes great food. Now, why do we pray for our food? I mean, you pray for it every day, probably at least once a day. Thanksgiving. We thank God for it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. How many of us still mean that? I mean, if you've got no money and you are poor, there are some people that are really thankful for what they're eating. But sometimes for us who are better off in life, food becomes kind of, we expect it. Many men today, we come home and we expect the food to be ready because we've got a wife. We thank God for the food. We should also thank God for the wife. I mean, if we're really thankful, think about it. We should also be thankful for the wife that prepared it. Bless the hands that made it, a very good traditional prayer. Powerful. We pray it without thinking. How many of us actually mean it? You see what I'm getting? Do you actually mean it when you say, Father, thank you for this food? God, please bless the hands that prepared it. Please don't do that. Can I encourage you to speak to a personal God and not a dead religion? And I'm not belittling those prayers. Please don't misunderstand me. I want to encourage you to speak to a living God. Okay? I don't speak the same words to my wife every day. If I have to speak to my wife the same sentence every day, I don't know how long this relationship will remain intimate. Might just become boring. And I'm not saying God is bored with your prayers. I just want to encourage you. When you pray, really mean it. Believe in it. Thank God for your food. And thank God for Lisa that prepared it. Instead of the hands that prepared it. It's so impersonal. And like, you know, God, thank you for this food. Thank you for Lisa for an effort and the love that she placed into it. But there's another reason why we pray. And it's not just thankfulness. Who else can tell me that? Acknowledges a provider. Yes, there's something else that we always pray in our traditional prayers. There's something else. Bless it to our bodies. Bless this food. Who have you done that before? You know, thank you, God, for this food. Bless the hands that prepared it. And, you know, the other very important thing, I always listen to how we pray for our food because there's always these two very important elements, isn't there? The one is to thank God for it. And the other very important element that you always hear is to ask God to bless the food. Do you ever actually think about it? Why do you do that? Why do you have to ask God to bless the food? Yes. So you actually mean it. I'll leave you with that question. Why do you ask God to bless the food and see if you can find that out? I'm not going to give you all the answers. But what I want you to do is, I want you to think about your prayers. Why do you pray? Do you pray that God actually, and you believe that God actually hear you when you pray this prayer? Or is it simply a tradition? Is it just something we do before we eat? Or something we have to do before we're allowed to eat? You know that? We all do that, don't we? Don't eat, we haven't prayed yet. Okay. And then we pray the same prayer for 20 years. And our children grow up hearing the same prayers for 20 years. The same two sentences. And you wonder why they think God is dead. Because we're bringing the same stuff every day. It never changes. Or do we really believe that He hears us? Is there any faith and emotion in our prayers? Or is it simply tradition? I want to encourage you, every opportunity you have to pray, even if it's the same prayer, just believe it. Don't just say it. Don't just say it. Believe it. Believe that God hears you. Believe that He responds. And if you go through Scripture, you will discover why we ask God to bless the food. There's a reason why, and there's a response. But without faith, we cannot please God. Isn't that so? Without faith, everything we do is meaningless. So I want to add faith to your prayers. I want to encourage you, add faith to your prayers. I want to encourage you, know what, as I was preparing this, I realized, you know, what is so powerful, and God spoke to me, when we have visitors, I pray, and I always bring these two elements in prayer, and it's always the same stuff, and God was convicting me. He says, but why do you do that? What an awesome opportunity that while you're here and Kwis and Sunny is with you, why don't you say, Father, thank you for your love, your provision. Thank you for this food, God. I want to pray for Kwis and Sunny that are here, God, and I pray that you will bless them tonight with us. And I ask that you bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. Very powerful, but do you see the difference? Father, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful. Bless this food in the hands that prepared it in Jesus' name. Amen. Versus, Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for Lisa that prepared it, God. And I want to thank John. And I want to thank you for John and Kwis, God. And I pray that you will bless them. And their marriage. And our fellowship tonight. And the food. Huh? Oh, shucks. Stop. Okay, my imaginary friends. But you get the picture. All of a sudden, the prayer of two sentences have gotten life. And it's not the same as the past 20 years. So I want to encourage you. When you pray for your food, believe that God actually hears you and that He actually responds. What an awesome opportunity. We are together as a family every day. Make use of that. Pray for your children. Pray for your wife. Pray for your situation. Make it short. While you're praying for your food, please, when visitors come, don't pray for half an hour, especially if they're not in the church yet. But pray with faith. Pray believing that God actually hears you and that God can actually respond. Because if we actually believe that God hears and we actually believe that God responds, maybe we will pray more. I mean, if it's true that God actually hears when I ask Him something and that He actually responds, wouldn't I be praying more? Well, I mean, that'll be good. But just, I want to encourage you. Some of us believe that God can respond. So when we pray with hope and faith that God is going to respond.